But there's more than that. Great things he's yet to do. He ain't through yet. He's just getting warmed up. Go read the word and watch what he's about to do. I'm going to go ahead and encourage all of you that are going to be baptized, if you'd go ahead and make your way down and change clothes. You got to have something on. We can't have you in the tank naked. It'll create a scene. You just got to go on and do your thing and leave your valuables there with those that are with you. But wait out there in that hall, and I'll come get you, give you a couple of instructions and bring you around. But you go ahead and take care of that. I want to have a few moments to exhort you with a word that the Lord put in my heart about 3 o'clock. When do we eat, Doc? I mean, what day? Yeah. 3 o'clock yesterday morning. I woke up because I wanted to be plenty early for my 6:30 breakfast meeting. Didn't want to miss that. And I was laying there in the bed, and the Lord dropped this passage of Scripture into my heart. And I make reference to it quite regularly. You're going to recognize it as I read it here in just a moment. But as I laid there and just meditated and thought about God's word, he wants me to challenge you, Open Range. And even if you're visiting, he wants me to challenge you as a child of God with an exhortation from this passage tonight. If you have your word or your Bible with you, and go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 5, if you would. Luke chapter 5, verse 17. All this same story is actually found over in Mark chapter 2 as well. This is Luke's account, and still hearing those pages turn, so I'm going to kill a little time, and I'm going to wait. Great things he has done. But I'm excited about what he's going to do. I'm glad that God's not through yet. I'm certainly glad that he's not through with me. He's just getting started on me. Glenda, you should have said amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're excited. Luke chapter 5, verse 17. Now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. We could stop right there on that one line. And the power of the Lord was present to heal. I want you to know, when we gather together, God's word says where two or more are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And where the Lord is present, the power is also present. The power for whatever is needed. The power to cleanse sins and save that person that's on their way to hell, and to write their name in the Lamb's Book of Life and give them an eternal destiny change. The power is present to restore marriages. The power is present to deliver from addictions and bondages. The power is present to give wisdom and direction. The power is present to give peace in the middle of a storm. The power is present to change your life and to change your circumstances. The power is present. Now, these scribes and Pharisees, Scott Kemp calls them the scabs and Pharisees, rulers of the law. You're going to see on down in a few verses their attitude towards some things. And God forbid we ever have the attitude that they generally have when we read Scripture. Back in verse 18, then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling in the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to him, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scabs and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this who blasphemes? Who can forgive sin but God alone?" But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and he said unto them, "Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, which you can't visibly see? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. This is one of three or four times in passage of Scripture where Jesus is confirming his deity. He's confirming he's God in the flesh. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said unto the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and he departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things. I want you to understand something. The lack of demonstration of power in the churches of America today is not the Lord's fault. It's the people's fault. For our lack of expectation, for our lack of doing our part, God forbid that we ever have a mentality in this house, well, I know God can, but I don't think he will. No, we need to have that expectation that I know my God can. I believe that he's going to. But even if he don't, I'm not going to stagger or waver. I will not compromise, back up, bow down. I'm going to trust the Lord with all my heart, lean not unto my own understanding. In all of my ways, acknowledge him. I'm going to allow him to direct my path. I'm going to walk in love and carry the power of God with me as I go. You see, God, that wants us that way because he wants to work with us. He don't want us working for him. Get that terminology out of your mouth. When you work for somebody, you're a hireling. He don't want hirelings. He wants to work with us, confirming his word with signs and wonders in our midst. You see, that's one of the visible signs as you go back and study the Bible, that people would see miracles happening and they just flocked to Jesus because he had time for them. He would sit down and hang out with them. He loved them enough that he would just sit there, listen to their issues. True it is, and you've heard the saying before, that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Jesus was showing the people that were broken and wounded and hurt and lost and lonely and deprived, depressed, possessed, I care about you. I came to this earth for you. For this purpose I've come, to seek and to save that which is lost. I've come to planet earth to destroy the work of the evil one. I've come to planet earth to set free them that are bound. I've come to set free and forgive sins of those who are sin deprecated and who they are just bound up in things. He's come to set us free. He's come to deliver us, to heal us. I remind you of his word that he says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not changed. Anything he's ever been able to do, he's able to do present day, and he desires to. He wants us to have increase our expectation and to call upon the name of the Lord and see great and mighty things done. He wants us to expect him to do what doctors say can't be done. He wants us to do what men say can't be done. Whose report will you believe? We have people in our midst tonight. How many of you ever been healed? Thank you. How many of you have ever had a miracle in your life? Now hold them up there. If you had that miracle. Now I'm going to throw you a real tricky one. How many are saved? Can I see your hand? Well, then why wasn't your hand up there when I said you? Because salvation's the greatest miracle of all. What is a miracle? A miracle is something that man can't do for himself. That's all it is. Don't be scared of the word miracle. Oh, that's a bunch of them weirdos. Jesus wasn't weird. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed and sick. Now in Greenwood, how many of you from East Texas? How many of you from other parts other than Greenwood? For your knowledge, in Greenwood, all means all. That's all means. All forms of sickness and disease. There's no sin that you've committed that can't be forgiven by God. There's only one sin that cannot be forgiven. Only one. Those old folks say it this way, blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Well, what is that? I'm going to tell you in cowboy terms. It's when, you see, no man cometh to the Father lest the Spirit draws him. And when the Holy Spirit is knocking on the door of your heart and you recognize and you realize, you know what? I need to open it up. I need to let him in. I need to confess my sin and that and receive him as my Savior. But when that Holy Spirit is tugging and drawing and wooing and beckoning me to come, and I just say, nope, that cannot be forgiven. That's the only thing that can't be forgiven. You can be a rapist, a drug head, an alcoholic, a robber, a prostitute, a whoremonger. A cowboy, you can be anything or have been anything. And while we're yet sinners, he loves us and died for us, gave himself for us. Don't matter what you've done, where you've been. Don't matter what people have and maybe still are saying about you. What matters is what does the King of Kings have to say about you? That's my boy. He's the righteousness of God in Christ, a brand new creation in him. That's who he is. I see him through the blood. Not what he used to be, but who he is. I want to talk about this passage of Scripture if I'll quit rambling. And I want you to notice a few things in this passage right here, and I want you to take it to heart, and I want it to become a driving force in us, Open Range. First of all, we see in verse 18, they had been where the needy were. Hello. Every day, we are already among needy people. They're everywhere. There's a world full of broken and wounded, hurting and lonely, lost people that are on the verge of giving up, that they need somebody that'll be like Jesus and just sit down, give them an ear, give them a word of hope, give them a word of encouragement. See, God is a God of hope. Do I need to remind you that one of the devil's favorite tools is the word hopelessness? He wants to, if he can ever get a person to the place that they feel like their circumstance, their situation is hopeless, it's impossible for that person to have faith because faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. And if he can get you to feel like there's no hope, remind yourself that he's a God of hope. Hope, there's four words there, and don't hold me to this. It's either Proverbs or Psalms, and I just short-circuited, Skeeter. But But the four words are this: hope thou in God. So they'd been where the needy were. We're already there. They believed if they could just get this man to Jesus. Hello, gut check. They believed if we can just get this man to Jesus, he'll do the rest. He'll take care of what's needed. But also, even though they had that trust and that hope that if we can just get him to Jesus, what happens? They have to put some work to their faith. They did what they could do. They put this man on a cot or a gurney, and they carry him up to where Jesus is at. They heard where he's at, and as they get close, they can't even get close to the house, Ronnie. People all outside the door. The house is full. Most of us would have said, oh, well. I know my wife would have said, oh, well. That's her big saying, oh, well. I got to share this real quick. One night, how many of you know what being slain in the spirit is, where the power of God just comes on you so strong, like those Roman soldiers at the tomb, they just fainted, just fell out. One night, my wife and I were at a church, it was actually one Sunday morning, and the pastor was going to pray for couples that was having troubles, and he looked over at me and Glenn, and he says, come help pray with these. So we walk up to, he pointed at this couple, and we're walking over to this couple to pray with them. And we get about from here to that keyboard. Bam! They just hit the floor like somebody shot them. Well, Glenda's walking in front of me, and she just makes a U-turn. And when she comes by me, she went, oh, well. So I catch her by the arm, and I said, oh, well, nothing. Get down there and pray with them. She says, God's already done what needs to be done. So now, I have no reason to lie to you. And I know that a whole lot of that kind of stuff is of the flesh. But I want you to know, don't you ever doubt the reality of God moving like that from time to time. I can tell you what, coming up real soon, November the 29th, will be 40 years ago, that in the living room of my home, when I said, God, if you're really real, and if you can take this whiskey bottle away from me, y'all know my testimony, and I'm not going to share it again other than this part. I said, I'll serve you till the day I die, but I've got to feel your power. Not have somebody tell me I'm saved. I've got to feel your power. And when I said that, he knocked me down in my living room harder than I'd ever been hit in a fight or bucked off of a horse or in football or what. I mean, I hit that ground, whoa! And I literally said, what the hell? I'd be lying if I said anything else. That's what I said. And I realized and remembered, I says, God, I got to feel your power. And he knocked me down there. And all I said right then, I said, Lord, forgive me. And when I said that, something happened. Something began to happen inside of me. There was this warmth that began to flow throughout my body. Now, I can't prove this, but I believe with all my heart, God was purging my blood. Because when I got up off of that floor nearly 40 years ago to this day, I've never had the DTs, the shakes, the withdrawals. I've never had to fight the urge for a drink. I want you to know God set me free. And he can do the same thing for you. They believed that they could just get this man to Jesus. Now, along their route of getting him to Jesus, they faced this adversity of all these people, but yet they didn't let that deter them. Don't you be deterred from getting the people to Jesus that the Lord has laid upon your hearts. Stick with the stuff. They go up on the roof, peel that tile back. lower him down into that house in front of Jesus. Wow. When Jesus saw their faith, verse 20, when he saw their faith, he makes the comment, man, your sins are forgiven. Now here's those scabs and Pharisees we're talking about. They're sitting there thinking the thoughts, who is this blasphemer? Only God can forgive sin. So he asked them that question, which is easier, to say thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise, take up thy cot, and go thy way. But to show you that I have the power to forgive sin on this earth, he said to that paralyzed man, get up, take your bed, and go home. I want you to know something, brothers and sisters. Two miracles happen in that story. There's a spiritual miracle where this man's sins are forgiven. And there's a physical miracle where he began to walk after he'd been laying paralyzed for many years. And I want to encourage you and exhort you tonight. If you don't already have a burden for someone that you love, know, family member, a co-worker, or fiance, husband, wife, whatever the case may be, I want you to begin to seek God. Lord, lay somebody on my heart. Lay somebody on my heart that you want me to focus in on and to begin to go out of my way to love and love and love, and to pray for, and to stand in the gap, and to intercede, and to do what's necessary to get them to Jesus. Because I promise you this, if you can get them to Jesus, they're willing. There's nothing that he can't do. He'll fix their problems. Would you bow your head real quickly? Maybe you're here in this room tonight, and you say, Dennis, I'm like this paralyzed man, and that I'm incapacitated because of sin. And I recognize, I feel the Holy Spirit tugging in my heart tonight that's saying you need to make some things right. I'm going to give you that opportunity real quick before I go get these people to come baptize them. See, they've already done this. You say, Dennis, I want to ask Jesus to forgive me and to save me. If that's you, can I see your hand? Anyone, anywhere, anywhere in this building? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Anyone else? Very quickly. Slip it up. Thank you, young man, lady. Thank you, young lady. Anyone else? Very quickly. This is your moment. If you feel the Lord tugging at your heart, see, you don't just get saved when you want to, but you have to obey and say yes when the Holy Spirit's standing there knocking on your heart, saying, if you'll open up, I'll come in. Anyone else? You say, Dennis, I want to open that heart tonight. I want to receive him. Anyone else? Very quickly. Very quickly before I move on. Yes, thank you. Look up here at me real quick. We do things a little different here sometimes. Nothing wrong with people coming to the altars, and we do that from time to time, but you can get saved right where you're at. You can get saved in a jail cell. You can get saved in a rodeo arena. You can get saved in the living room of your home. The prerequisites for salvation is this: for you to believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God that came to this earth because he loved us, stayed faithful to the mission for which he came. He lived a sinless life, laid himself down on a cross and died, shed innocent blood to redeem sinful man back to God. But he doesn't stay dead. 3 days later, he walks out of that grave with the keys of death, hell, and the grave in his hand to prove, just like to these scribes and Pharisees, that he has the power and the ability and the desire to forgive our sins. It says if we believe that in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, then we're saved. Just like I did in the living room of my home, I want to give you that opportunity right now. So if you'll bow your head, and in case you don't know how to pray, I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and it's not my prayer that saves you. My prayer is irrelevant. It's your heart and your honesty and your sincerity with God. He said, if you come, he will in no wise cast you out. So let's pray. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. And I ask you now, because I believe that you rose from the dead, You died a death for me. Shed your blood for my sins. I believe that. And so now I ask you to cleanse me of my sins, to forgive me, to come into my life, be my Savior and my Lord. Help me, Jesus, by the power of your Spirit, to learn your word, to learn your ways, to learn your voice, so that I can be pleasing to you. And I'll be sure to say thank you and to give you praise for that. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Just if you would.